This tape will become part of a Scandinavian immigrant experience collection at Pacific Lutheran University. The date today is March 25, 1982. The interview is taking place at the home of George Sundbuck and is being conducted by Inger Carr. What is your full name, please?
George Brun Sundbuck.
When and where were you born?
I was born in a place they call Sundbuck. That is not but 5 Norwegian miles north of the border.
Okay, and when?
In 24th of January.
What were your parents' names?
My dad's name was Edward Isaacson.
Isaacson, but you took the name Sundbuck?
Sundbuck, from the place where I was born, yeah. Most of the Norwegians do that when they come here, they take the name from there. In fact, I was in North Dakota 18 months and I went by the name of Isaacson, but my sister was out on the coast here and she took the name Sundbuck. So when I come out here, I changed it to Sundbuck so that they would know we were brother and sister.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was your mother's name?
Andrea.
Andrea what?
Gabrielson.
Okay, tell me something about them, what they did and
well,
where
my,
they were from.
My grandfather, he was a carpenter. He even built a church in Buda.
Your grandfather, now was that
yeah.
your father's father?
No, mother's father.
Oh, what was his name then?
Gabrielson? No, Olson.
Olson.
But they changed it also. They were in this country and they changed it to Horberg. So they went by the name Horberg here. That was also the place around Trondheim where they came from.
Your grandparents were here, you said?
Yeah, they were here. They were here ahead of me because they had 2 daughters here. And the daughters, I guess, sent for them. They come over here, I think, around 1905.
Oh.
And they lived out on Harstein Island.
Is that right?
Yeah, they had an 80-acre farm out there on Harstein Island.
Did they stay then, or did they...
Yeah, they stayed there till my grandfather, he died there, but my grandmother, she was too old to live by herself, so she stayed in a rest home here in Tacoma, where she passed away. She was 96 when she died.
Why did they come? That's
well,
long time
they,
ago.
Well, they come to their daughters, is today.
I see.
Yeah, they stayed with a daughter out there in Rosedale, but she died young. Her name was Rome. And I forget the first name, I can't think of it right now.
Well, she was married, so her name was Mrs. Rome.
Yeah, Albert Rome was her husband's name. Mm-hmm. And she died young at childbirth. So my grandmother, she took the kid, and I had an uncle here by name Ole. He bought that farm for them out on the island, and there is where they stayed.
But your father and mother didn't ever come over here?
No, they never did come over here. My mother, she died when I was young. I was only 9 years old when she passed away.
Oh.
So my dad, he remarried, and we was 10 in the family.
What was your grandmother's name before you leave them?
Her name was Birgitta.
Birgitta what? What was her maiden name? Do you know?
No, that I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know that.
Okay, how about your father's parents?
Well, my grandfather on my father's side, he died young. I think he died in an accident, the way I understood it, yeah. No, he died young.
What was his name? Do you know?
Well, his name was Isaac.
Oh, okay.
So that's why my dad went by name Isaacson.
Uh-huh. And your grandmother, do you remember her name?
No. I never remember my dad's mother. She must have died very young because they never even spoke of her.
No, okay. What was that grandfather's occupation? Do you know what he did?
No, he was a farmer and fisherman.
What did your father do then?
Well, he was also farming. He had that Sundbuck. That was a lot of ground attached to Sundbuck. And he in the wintertime, he was out in Lofoten fishing. And in the summertime, he worked the farm.
So it was quite a large farm.
Well, it was a lot of fun, but it wasn't worth much. It was mostly mountains and birch trees. And there was a, in the back of there was a lake. It was about 7 kilometers long, and he had one side of the old lake.
Oh.
But as I say, there was... But he planted a lot of... Norwegian pine.
Mm-hmm.
So when we was back there in 66, I was 51 and a half. I've been away 51 and a half years. So those, he planted them when I was a kid, and when I was back there, there was big timbers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is there somebody in your family that has the farm?
Yeah, there's one of my youngest brothers, next to the youngest of my brothers. We were seven brothers. So.
Boys and any girls?
And three girls. There is only one of them living now. She's back in Norway. In fact, they're all back there.
Will you tell me their names and what they did for an occupation? Brothers and sisters?
The one next to me, the two next to me, they are retired.
I know, but what
three next to me is retired, but
yes,
they were the same as my dad. They were fishermen, and they had a piece of ground, and they worked in the summertime, and had a few cows.
What were their names?
Well, the oldest one was Johan, and they go by the name of Sandbeck. Mm-hmm. And he lives in a place they call Nordfold. That's across the fjord from Sandbeck. They have a old people's home there. That he lives in. Mm-hmm. Both him and his wife is put living. And the one next to him, he lives in Bodø. He had been here twice visiting.
What's his name?
His name is Edmund.
Was he a fisherman?
Yeah, he fished when he was young, but then he went to, he was working on road work and farming. They were building the what they call Riksvei, and that's a road that goes from one end of Norway to, it goes right into Russia in the north.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
They cross there at what they call Kirkenes. There's a town there named Kirkenes that is right across the river from Russia. There is a river there that is the border between Russia and Norway.
And then next? Who's the next one, next child?
Oh, that's Joseph. He done the same thing. He had my dad gave them a piece of land from his farm, Johan and Joseph. Edmund, he had some land that was in a different fjord, they called Starfjord. That was just, you could row there from Sandbeck to the. But he still has it, but he moved to Bodø with his family when they were all raised in Starfjord. Then there's Johan, Edmund, Joseph. Then there is Olaf. But it was I had a brother that came to this country that I took over here in 1930, but he died young of cancer. He was 49 years old when he died. Mm. Then there is Olaf, he's the guy that has the farm. And then Theodore. Theodore, he is, he just fishes.
That's all he ever did.
He had a little farm in Heldal, but he moved to Nordfold and he lives there with his son. And that's all he does is fish. So that's my brothers. Then I got a sister there. Her name is Frida Peterson. She is also retired. There's only Olaf and Theodore that is still active, are my brothers.
You had some more sisters too, didn't you?
Hmm?
You had some more sisters. What were?
Yeah, but they are both passed away. I had one in this country.
What were their names?
Well, the one that was here, her name was Inga Wally.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband was killed in Alaska. when she was still a young woman, but she had two kids, a daughter and a son. She raised them, but she never remarried.
And then you had another one?
And the other one, she was married back in Norway, but she passed away some years ago. I guess she was about 74 or 75 when she died.
That's a large family. And you said that your mother died young?
Yeah, she died young.
And then your father?
So they're really Olaf, Frida and Theodore, that is for the second marriage.
I see. Who did your father marry then?
Well, her name was Petra.
How old were you then when he remarried? Were you home yet?
Yeah, I was home then. I guess I was about, I must have been about 14 years, 13 years old.
Now, was there school right there in real close to Sandbach?
Yeah, there was a school. Well, they had several places they teach, so that sometimes we had to go to another place they call Starfield. Between Sandbach and Starfield, it was too different, so that they wouldn't have to transfer the kids all the time from that one place. So we, half of the time we went to Starfield, and the other half of the time it was at Sandbach.
You mean like the first three or four years or something, you went to one place and then?
No, it was
or during the
one
same
year. They staggered the years.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one year in each place.
How about the church? You confirmed up there?
Hmm?
Was there a church there too?
The church was at Nordfold. That was about 2 Norwegian miles to church. So you went in a row, in a boat. Everything was transferred by boats there. You can see there is no.
Yeah.
There's all mountains and fjords.
But you didn't have to go by boat to get to school.
Yeah, when we went to, we never went by boat. We stayed there then at some relatives of my dad. My dad had a brother lived there.
I see.
In Starfjord, and we stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, over the weekend we went home.
Mm-hmm.
But through the week we stayed there.
So then when you took confirmation instruction, did you have to stay over there?
We stayed there. Then we stayed in Norfolk, where the church is.
I see.
My dad also had, everybody at that time had big families. He had a cousin there in Norfolk that I stayed with.
Mm-hmm. You went to school 7 years, did you?
Seven. I was either 7 or 8. I couldn't say now. I think it was 8 years.
Did you go to any more school after you finished the grade school?
No, no.
There wasn't any other school up there?
No. At that time, you had to have money to go to school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I went, the only school I ever went to outside of the grade school was here. I took navigation school in 1918.
We'll talk about that when we get here to this country, but... Well, how about in the wintertime? Did you go across that lake then, too, to get to church?
In the wintertime?
Yeah.
Well, we went the same way. We went into Starfield to school when we went there, yeah. And when the Starfield was over at our place, then they stayed with families at Sandbach.
But did you have to cross that lake to go to church in the wintertime, too?
But it wasn't a lake. That was a fjord.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had to go there by boat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wasn't that pretty rough in the wintertime?
Sometimes it was, yeah.
Do you have any experiences you can remember about that?
Oh, I was pretty young. I didn't go to church very much. There, I was only 17 when I come over here, so...
I see. Uh-huh. And your whole family didn't go all the time?
My dad always did, yeah. Because my mother, you see, I was only 9 years old when she died.
I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you remember Christmas, celebrating Christmas?
Yeah, we had that was what we always looked forward to there. It was Christmas. That was...
Why?
Christmas Day, you know, then you couldn't even... leave the home. You had to, that they all stayed at home. But the second day of Christmas, then they used to go and visit each other. And there was a long Christmas holidays that lasted for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You went visiting a lot.
Mm-hmm. Only all visited, yeah. There was no school either then. We had a long school vacation.
Did you go to church on Christmas Day?
No.
When was church then, Christmas? Or didn't you go? Didn't your family go?
No, I guess the Vatican did, my sister, he didn't go.
Oh.
No.
How about any special foods you had that you remember for Christmas?
Any special what?
Food.
Oh yeah, we had all kinds of goodies.
But what did you have special?
Well, they had lefse and they had different kind of stuff. Julekake, waffles. Waffles, you know, they that was a kind of a special too, you know, with gummi on and.
You had that
gummi
too, huh?
I used to make gummi when I went up to Nuland. I used to make a lot of gummi.
Didn't they make roll pops?
That is something that I can do.
Mm-hmm. What did you have Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve, then it was, that was lutefisk.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
What was it? What did you have with it?
Well, I can't remember now. That's a long time ago. 68 years ago since I come here.
Well, what did you have Christmas Day then?
Well, Christmas Day, that was mostly smorgasbord.
I see.
Yeah.
Just lots of things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you must have had to work a lot on this farm when you were young, did you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What did you have to do?
Well, I was with my dad out fishing, and when he was fishing and I was out in the woods, he used to cut a lot of wood. He used to sell a lot of wood.
Mm-hmm. What did you do after you got through school?
Well, when I was 14 years old, I was my own. And I was on the coast fishing and sailing. And I was even up in Russia when the First World War broke out. We was fishing up in Varda, and the people that we fished for, they sold the fishing schooner to the Russians. So there was a three-man schooner that came into Varda. They were going over to Archangel for lumber. So me and my daughter partner, we shipped. And we was over there a month, there loading the lumber. Of course, we didn't, we just kept up the boat work, they had longshoremen to load the lumber. And that's all we had for lumber. There was all women, longshoremen.
Women?
Yeah.
How come?
Well, that was the style of Russia.
Is that right?
And that they turned socialist, I don't blame them, because those poor women, all they had for clothes was made our gunny sacks into clothes. That's all they had for clothes. See, there was a lot of poverty in that nation, and that was in 1914.
What were the men doing in Russia then? Fighting? What were the men doing in Russia, being the women were doing that heavy work?
Well, they were, I suppose, farming, I guess, working out in the woods. There was a lot of lumber coming out of there. When we came back to Norway with the schooner, we had to go into Varda, no, into Tromsø, for water and provision. And then we found out that the First World War was in full blast.
Oh, you didn't know it when you were up there in Russia?
No, we didn't know nothing. There was no communication with nobody.
Were you frightened when you realized how...
Well, I tell you what we did. There were some girls that came down on the dock there, and they told us that everything in the North Sea was sank. So me and Haldur, my daughter mate, that ship down there, we left the schooner and hid underneath the dock. When they couldn't find us, they left, so we left the schooner. And the way we found out that schooner never, we was heading for Hull, England. And we heard that the schooner never got there. It was sunk because the North Sea was full of submarines. Even when I come across in January 1915, we was stopped 7 times in the North Sea by submarines. But it was blowing so hard, they couldn't board us.
Well, what did you do after you left the schooner before you got on one to go to England? Did you go home?
Well, we went home, yeah. There was another fishing boat that came down along there, and we went on a fishing boat from there down to Buda. And then we took a local boat from Buda into Sandbach.
And then you decided to go to England then?
No, I didn't go to England.
Oh.
We was heading for England under the lumber schooner.
Uh-huh.
But we left them in Tromsø. We didn't go with them, and they didn't get there. They were heading for Hull in England. So then that was in the fall of 14. So then I went on a big boat over across the fjord over to herring fishing, and we was there. That's where we was anchored outside of where Mrs. Gregerson came from.
Mm-hmm.
So then I went home, we come home for Christmas. Well then, you know, I got ready to go to this country.
Why did you do that? What made you decide to
Well, because if they were figured that the country was going to get into war, I was going to get away from this. So,
mm-hmm.
So I went and you had to have all kinds of paper fixed up. You had to have papers from the church, and you had to have papers from the sheriff that you haven't done anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So it was in the middle of January, I guess, I left home for this country.
What did your father think about that?
Well, he was already going to Lofoten for fishing, him and my younger brother. My brother next to me. They went to Lofoten fishing. And my stepmother, she says he would rather seen my coffin than me go, because she says he would never see me again. Which was true.
Is that right?
No, I never seen either one of them after that.
How old were you now when you left?
I was not quite 17. Oh. I was 17 and a couple of days out of New York.
You're so young. What was the year? What was the
15.
Date? What was the date you left? May? In May, you said?
No, in January. First of January. It must have been around the
15.
Well, it must have been around the 15th or 16th, because I traveled down along the coast of Norway, but I took the America steamer in Stavanger, the Bergenfjord.
Mm. Now the war was still on, right?
Yeah, it was on. This was in 15. It was on till the fall of 18.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't it dangerous to cross the Atlantic then?
Well, no, not the passenger boats. They left them.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they didn't bother them.
And you came straight to New York from Stavanger?
Yeah.
You didn't have to go through England or anything?
No.
How was the trip over?
Well, in the North Sea, we had a terrible storm. But after we got past Scotland, then it was calm, and it wasn't very bad across the Atlantic.
But being a fisherman, I don't suppose you got sick?
Oh, no. I wasn't sick.
How was the trip? Was it all right?
Well, it was... It was rough, but not like in the North Sea. The North Sea was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple of sailors that almost got killed.
How did they do that?
Well, I don't know. There was a light bulb, I guess, that got loose.
Oh, they were trying to get it?
They were trying to make it fast so it wouldn't smash up.
Mm-hmm. Now, your father didn't know you were coming over here?
Oh, he knew I was leaving, yeah.
Did you have relatives to come to?
Well, I have my grandparents here, and my sister, she was here a year ahead of me.
Oh, I see.
But I stopped over in North Dakota. I knew a guy there. He left about 2 years before that time.
Now, you went through Ellis Island then, I suppose?
Yeah, I emigrated to Ellis Island.
How was that, going through that?
Well, I had no trouble at all to get through there, no. Right way through, it was just... routine, that was all it was. There was thousands of them going through there.
Did you see anything different when you got to New York that you hadn't weren't used to?
Well, the only thing that was most different was the language. I couldn't speak English.
How did you get along with food and so forth?
Oh, I managed to. Norwegian language is spoken, I guess, all over the world because I seemed like I got along. And I come to North Dakota, which I shouldn't have. I was there 18 months, I didn't learn a word of English because there was nothing but Norwegian. Wherever I come, they talk Norwegian.
Who did you come to in North Dakota?
Well, there was a. My stepmother had a brother there I went to work for.
What was his name?
Theodore Olofsson.
Mm. Where in North Dakota?
That was close to Wild Rose. That is in the northwestern corner of North Dakota, yeah.
What did you do there?
No, I worked on a farm.
He had a farm, did he?
Oh, yeah, that's all there was. That was all there was there, was farms. Mm-hmm. I learned to handle a lot of horses. I drove teams there with seven horses, three in the lead and four behind. That was what we used there, seven horses when we pulled anything, except when we was on the road with a wagon, then we had two.
It was big farming then.
He had 160 acres that, but then I got there in the spring, or in that part. I guess it was in February I got there because I was in Chicago a couple of days. Mm.
How long was your trip over? How long did it take on the boat? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember that. It must have been about 9-10 days.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what it cost?
Yeah.
Do you remember what it cost you?
Yeah, I don't remember. No, because I paid in Norwegian money, but I don't remember how much. I think it amounted to about $200.
Is that all the way to North Dakota?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How was the train ride?
The train ride? Mm-hmm. Well, to me it was a long train ride. I don't know how long it took, but it stopped in every hamlet there was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you have a box of food to eat on the train, or what did you do? Did you get to stop?
You could buy it on stops, you know, they're selling.
I see.
Yeah. You could buy any time they stopped if you wanted to step up. They were selling stuff because I don't think there was any place on the train that they were selling food at that time. I think it was, everybody was buying packages of food when they stopped.
What did you think about America right at first?
Well, everything was strange and everything was big.
Especially there, out in North Dakotas.
Yeah.
It seemed big, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, there was nothing but prairie there, you know, just flat like an ocean.
Yes. Uh-huh. Now, how long did you stay there?
18 months.
Mm. What made you decide to leave?
Well, I didn't really like that there. I didn't like that. It was too cold in the winter and too hot in the summer. So that's when I come out here, and then I shipped on that one there. That's the one I shipped on, when I come out to Seattle.
You came out to Seattle. Why did you choose Seattle?
No, I came to Tacoma, but then I met a lot of people I knew from that came here, a year or two ahead of me.
In Tacoma?
Yeah.
What was the date, you know?
Date?
Yeah, in the year. Must have been...
No, I wouldn't know that. I never paid that time. But I was in the month of October.
And what year?
16.
1916.
Yeah.
The war was still on, wasn't it? War was still on.
No, we wasn't at war here, but no. The war was on in Europe. Yeah. And then I went at that one, we went up to Alaska. And... we didn't know that this country was at war in 17 till the 4th of July. There was a tender that went down to Cordova. We was up in Cochinda, close to Anchorage.
So you left Seattle, you got on a fishing boat? Is that what you did?
Well, I went on her, yeah.
What's the name of it? Well?
That's St. Paul.
And it's a fishing boat?
No, that is a big boat. She's over 300 feet long.
And what? How did you get?
She took candy supplies up and candy workers.
So you signed to work in a cannery? Is that what you went up there?
No, I signed up as an ABC man on that boat there.
What's an ABC man?
That is a full sailor.
Oh. At how old were you?
Well, I was 19 then.
19.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did you get on that?
Well, I knew a guy that married my sister. And he was here ahead of me. Mm-hmm. So he was going up there as a fisherman on that one there. But then you had to sign up both as a sailor and fisherman, because when you delivered all your cannery stuff, then you left the ship and went into the cannery and worked there. And then I went to work on a pile driver to put in fish traps.
Where was that?
That was in Cook's Inlet. Kenai is the name of the place. That's halfway between Seldovia and Anchorage.
Kenai Peninsula.
Yeah, that's in Kenai Peninsula, and that is. In fact, the cannery was built on Kenai River. Mm-hmm. You go up the river about a mile, I guess, from Cook's Inlet to the cannery. So that's where I landed when I come out of this coast. And I was on her 4 summers as an ABC man. And my job was on the top sail there when we sailed. And that was 185 feet from the deck.
What did you have to do up there?
Huh?
What did you have to do up there?
Well, we had when we took sail, I had to go up and make the sail fast. And when we're setting sails, well, then I had to go and loosen them.
Now you went fishing for salmon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And worked, and that was the cannery too?
Yeah, I was the cannery, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you work amongst, you know, all Norwegians on that boat, or?
Well, we wasn't all Norwegians on my watch. There was English and Dane. There was one Dane there by name Axel Mathiesen. That's all he ever done was sailing. But then we were 6 on the watch, and there was one Englishman and one Dane. I think the rest of us was Norwegians.
Did you learn the language then?
Oh, I could speak it pretty well then, because I was practicing it through the winter. So I understood it, and I could say quite a bit in English. So, and they all talked English, so it didn't take me long to learn, you know. I was only 19 years old. It was easy to learn when you were that age.
You say you practiced it during the winter. Did you stay here during the winter?
I stayed out on Austin Island with my grandparents that winter.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tell me about finding them. Did you have any trouble?
No. My sister knew where we lived.
Did she meet you at the train depot here in Tacoma?
She was here in Tacoma, yeah. She was working in Tacoma.
And she met you at the train depot, did she?
She met me at the depot, yeah, when I come in here. The Union Station, downtown here.
What was your first impression of the West Coast?
Well, that wasn't pretty much the same as it was over in Europe. Same thing.
Did you like it better than you did in the Midwest then?
Oh, yeah, sure. That was my life, was the water. I'm born and raised there in Sandbach. You see, that's the fjord. That's the water from the North Sea that comes in there.
Did you also think that the countryside here looked more like Norway then?
Well, Alaska looks more like Norway than here. It's farther north, and they have the trees look more like it, and there are more fjords there. It's more like the coast of Norway.
How long was it before you felt at home?
Well, I don't know. I guess I felt at home any place I went. Used to that since I was a kid.
You used to traveling around.
Yeah. So I never was homesick.
Right.
Never, no.
How long did you do that then? Go up to Alaska for 4 years? And then what did you do?
I put in 38 summers up in that country.
Oh, but 4 years on this particular boat.
Yeah, yeah, but then they went into, they had sold that one, or quit using it. They got themselves a steamer. It took too long. It was once, it took us 6 weeks to get up there.
Did you work for a company?
Yeah.
What company was it?
Northwestern to begin with, yeah. But I worked for several companies up there. I was foreman for Northwestern though for six years. Yeah, 6 years I was foreman there.
Now you said you went to navigation school. Did you do that right when you first came, before you went?
That was in 1918, because they didn't have officers for all the ships they were building here. So I got free navigation school.
Here in Tacoma?
Yeah. They were down on in the simple dock there. They had an office down there.
How long was that?
Oh, that didn't take us long, because we was three Norwegians. And I think it took us, well, I think there was 2 weeks we was there.
Oh. What did you learn in that length of time?
Well, what I didn't know, I learned that there was a section was the main thing. That I never knew, but the rest of it I kind of knew pretty well.
Can you explain that? What did you say? Can you explain what that is?
Section, well, that's an instrument you take, a star or a sun or anything, and follow it down to the horizon. And then you have to figure out then the distance. And then you know what latitude and longitude you're in.
I see. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. You went up there 38 years, so that's what you've done until you retired, did you?
Well, that's practically every summer that is summertime I was up mm-hmm. there, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's practically what I did in the summertime, of course, down here. When I was here, in the wintertime, she's laid in Lake Washington, then I was on the steamers out there.
What did you do in there?
I made two trips to the Orient one winter on the President Lincoln. Then once I went, third mate on a Bush steamer by name Phillips. We went down to Chile, down to some, I don't even remember the place there. We had a load of lumber there. And we was in a mining place there, and we took ore up to the smelter here. And then the sailors went on strike, and that was the end of me and the navigation. They were on strike for 13 years. Well, the bosun, he was a Swede, he told me that if I went out, I would have a heck of a time, because there would be nothing but scabs. So I quit with the sailors, and then it was a bit of rough times there, you know.
When was that?
That was in 21, in the spring of 21, I think there was something like May or June.
It was difficult to find work then?
Well, I went east of the mountain that summer. There was nothing here. And I went to work on a farm. I started work there for $2 a day in room and board. But when I left the farm, I had $9 a day.
You must have done a good job.
Well, there was a widow that had a farm, and she begged me to take over the farm.
I see.
But I wanted to get back to the coast, so I come back here and I went fishing.
That's really
back up to Alaska again.
That's your favorite thing, isn't it? Fishing?
Yeah. So I went up there fishing. I was fishing up there.
Where did you meet your wife?
Well, this is my third marriage. I had two wives while going to Alaska. And when I come back, there was somebody in my place. So that cost me three houses and $6,000, those first marriages. I met her up on Valhalla. Gladys.
What's her name? What's her name?
Gladys.
Gladys, what was her maiden name?
Iverson.
Iverson. Where is she from?
Well, she was born in, you was born back in,
yeah.
In Iowa.
Mm-hmm. I see. What was she doing out here?
Well, the parents, she come out here young, I guess. She was just a young kid when you come out here. Mm-hmm.
What year was that then? That
4 years old when she come out here.
What year did you marry Gladys?
And that was in 49.
Do you have any children?
Children? Mm-hmm. I had one with my former marriages. I have a daughter.
Oh.
And she had been married before too, so she had two daughters, so we got three daughters.
I see. What are their names?
Well, my daughter's name is Georgia.
Georgia what? Is she married?
And
she's married, isn't she?
Yeah, her name is...
Herman.
Well,
does she live here?
No, they live out on the peninsula, across the bridge.
I see. What does her husband do?
I tell you what he's doing now. He's working for... He has worked for the state for several years. He's working for the penitentiary out there.
Maintenance.
He is a kind of a maintenance man out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he was working for the Western State before. But then he was transferred out there. Mm-hmm. And Gladys's daughters, one is Dolores, she is in a hospital in Seattle, in the Swedish hospital. She's been in there for about 4 months. She has been very sick, but she's starting to recover now.
Mm.
And the oldest daughter, Bernice, she is working for the telephone company. They are both married. Her husband painted that one.
I see. Does he do that for a living?
He was a commercial artist.
Oh, what's his name?
Richard Evans.
Does he have an office here in town? Or?
Yeah, he has his office right at home.
And they live in Tacoma, though?
Yeah. And the other one, his name is Cox. Donald Cox. He was the one that painted that one.
So they're both painters, huh?
No, that's just his hobby. He is a field engineer for Simpson down in Shelton.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you lived in Tacoma all the time, or have you lived in Seattle? Or?
Who, me? No, yeah. This was my stopover place when I wasn't out. This was ever since 16 when I come out there, there's been Tacoma, except that winter I stayed out on Austin Island. Mm-hmm. That was the winter of 16 and 17.
Well, were your other wives, were they Norwegian too, or...?
My was Norwegian. She came here when she was 6 years old from Skien, mm-hmm. Norway.
Which one is the mother of your daughter? That your first wife was the mother of your daughter?
No, the second one.
I see. So you've had several homes here in Tacoma then?
Yeah. Well, my second wife, she was from Everett, so I bought a house up there. I had a house there, but we moved here to Tacoma. And we had a home here.
What was her name?
Her name was, her maiden name was Valborg Strand.
No, have you been active in a church? Have you been active in a church?
Mm-mm.
No. Uh-uh. No, I had enough of that when I went to school. I had Bible 2 hours a day for 8 years, so that I figured was enough.
How about Scandinavian lodges? Have you been active in those?
Well, no, I was... I belonged to Nordnorsklaget, but I quit that. The only lodge I belong to is the Masons.
Mm. Why is that? Why did you quit the Scandinavian lodge?
Well, I didn't like the activity there, the way they worked it. We was trying to be self-supporting and they voted it down. I've worked for 2 years to get them to pay 2 bits a month. They were paying 50 cents a month. They raised it 2 bits. And I got it through, and then the next meeting they voted it out again, so that was the end of me and Nolan Lovett.
Well, if you aren't self-supporting, how do they get their money then?
Well, it seems like every time that there is any activities, they got to appoint a committee to be there and work, sell something or do something to get money for the lodge. And I couldn't see that, so I just dropped out.
How about, have you gone back to Norway?
I was back there twice. I was back there in 66 and 72. And when I come back there in 66, that's when I met a brother and a sister I never seen.
Oh, if you're...
They were born after I left.
Is that right?
Yeah. And my sister, she was the grandmother that I never seen. Well, she was born shortly after I left. I left there in the first part of January, and she was born in June. 4th of June she was born.
How was your trip back? Did you fly or did you go by boat?
No, we flew both times. The first time we flew Scandinavian American line, and we had to go fly to Anchorage first because they couldn't land here in the field. They didn't have no contract for this airfield here, so they flew. They flew from. We could go either to Anchorage or Los Angeles. Well, to Los Angeles we'd be flying there, we'd be going the wrong direction, so we flew up to Anchorage because they fly over the North Pole. Mm-hmm. So.
That was SAS then.
Yeah. Well, the second time we went through Norland Long, then we went to the charter plane from Vancouver, BC.
Oh, was that Northwest Orient then, or what did you?
I think there was United, wasn't it?
No, I don't think so.
I don't remember what the airline it was. There was a charter plane anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you went back the first time, did you see a lot of changes?
Oh, yeah, I didn't even know Sandberg back. You see, my dad, he had a lot of goats and sheep and cows. Well, the goats ate of everything that started to grow, you know, so there was bear all around there, and he got rid of the goats shortly after I left. So when I come back, there was a big forest of birch trees, and so I didn't even know there was sandbank. Because it was full of trees.
Did he cut those trees then and sell the lumber?
Yeah, well, you know, the birch, they sold that for firewood. But they sell a lot for pulp or for plywood. I mean, they have a big. I got a nephew that is got share in a birch plywood mill there. It isn't far from there. That they call it Rungdon, but that is only a short ways from Buda. And you ought to see the plywood they made out of birch. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They had sheets that was an inch thick. They had all the way from a quarter inch to an inch thick plywood.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see any other changes? How about in the people, or?
Well, the language has changed too.
It has. How is that?
When we came from Copenhagen and going north, there was announcing something over the loudspeaker. So I said, I don't know. I said, I don't know what kind of a language that isn't German, and that isn't Norwegian, and that isn't English. And I found out there was Norwegian she was talking.
What have they done? What has made it
different? I don't know. You see, when I left Norway, they talked more Danish. You see, Norway was under Denmark for so many,
that's right.
So long. So they, so there was mostly, there was just about, there was Danish, just a little different dialect. And they've been trying to change it, so I didn't understand it. Well, up where I came from, they still had the old language, so, but, from the south they had. And this woman that was announcing, I got talking to her. She has been in Chicago for a couple of years. And she was going to a college there. But one night she said she got so homesick, she packed up everything and went back to Norway.
Is that right, and stay?
I told her we had a place there we called Stellacombe. That's where she belonged.
Oh, you don't feel that way then?
No, I don't feel like that, no.
You're not sorry you left Norway at all?
No, I'm not. Well, I tell you, I'm kind of sorry right now that I did, account of the crazy administration, because they might get us into a war. Otherwise, so far as the country, it's a good country.
You've always felt that way, huh?
Yeah, oh yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, are you proud to be a Norwegian?
Well, I am not ashamed of being a Norwegian, but I have been here for 67, 68 years, so I am a pure American, really, when you go that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you see anything different about the Norwegian people than say, the Swedes or Finns? Or what, in your working, did you have any comparison to that?
No. To me, a man is a man. A person is a person. It is the person himself. Mm-hmm. I've been around a lot, and there is good ones and there is bad ones. And I don't think that no matter what part of the world you come to, you're going to find that the nationality is any different. I haven't seen it.
You haven't?
No.
You worked amongst other people too, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
Different nationalities.
Oh, yeah.
Was it when you came here, was the first time you saw black people? When did you see black people?
That was the first time I seen black people.
Where?
In Chicago.
In Chicago? What did you think of that?
And he talked Norwegian.
Where did you meet him?
I don't know. I decided to have a shoe shine, I think. I think that's where it was.
He was a shoe shine man.
Yeah.
What did you think of that? When he talked
and
about
he, of course, he was going to have some fun with me. He says that you get that way when you've been here 20 years. But then he told me, that he has been sailing on a Norwegian ship. So that's how he learned Norwegian.
What did you think of him? Black
people? Oh, I don't know. I didn't think anything different of him than anybody else. Same thing. Mm-hmm. No.
Did you continue to use the Norwegian language in your home?
Never, no. Mm-mm. My daughter, she balls me out because she liked to take a trip to Norway, but I never teached her Norwegian. I got a stepdaughter, this Norwegian I was married to. She had a daughter when I married her. Mm. She was 5 years old. And she took a trip to Norway. She was up visiting that brother of mine that was here twice. But the second time he was here, this daughter of mine, my stepdaughter, she lives in Ellensburg. So she took us over. He had a nephew with him too, Erling. He is the only one really that talks good English over there. He used to be a ship's captain.
I see, that's how.
And he talks Norwegian fluently. So he was with my brother when he was here the second time, and so my daughter took us over to Peggy, that's my stepdaughter. And so she got to meet my brother, and she's married to he is French descent. But they were a trip once before they took a trip, but it was in the winter time, they traveled to southern Europe, and then they ended up in southern Norway. And they wanted to travel north, but it was so much snow in the winter time, so they decided to not to. But then, what little time he had in Norway, he liked the Norwegians so much that he wanted to go back and travel Norway. So they went back there. They were there 9 weeks traveling around there in Norway. And they, I guess they had a wonderful time there. He's ready to go back again.
What did he like about it?
Well, he liked the people, and he liked, I guess, When you are a Norwegian descent, which Peggy is, they try to be nice to you and make you at home when you were there.
He liked the way he was treated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're friendly people, aren't they?
Yeah. They are friendly.
Mm-hmm. Can you say something in Norwegian?
Ja, jeg kan tale norsk, men det dårlig.
Ikke så dårlig.
Du taler norsk, da?
Litt.
Ja.
Vi forstår det.
Ja. Are you married now?
Yes.
Is your husband Norwegian? No. Well, then it's pretty hard. But of course, Granny, she can talk Norwegian. I tell you, when we went to Norway the first time, she was afraid to talk Norwegian, but she understood it. So we was up in Narvik. That's where you see the midnight sun in the middle on the top there. Mm-hmm. I took the picture in 66. And that's midnight. There you see the midnight sun. And we went up there to visit a niece of mine. And of course, I didn't know anybody. I didn't even know my own brothers, because you must understand that the next one to me, he was only 14 years old when I left home. And when I come back, he was in his middle 60s.
Just like strangers.
Yeah, they were all strangers to me. So I was going up there and visit a niece of mine. All my relatives, they wanted me to come and see them. So we decided I was going up to Narvik and see my niece up there. So my niece told me one day, she says, take a trip into town. They live kind of my outskirts of town. Take a trip into town and I'm going to have Gladys talking. Because my niece, she couldn't talk English. So I stayed a long time in town. When I come back, Gladys, she was talking the blue streak Norwegian, you know. But she was afraid to talk it because she was afraid that she said something wrong.
Had she always spoken it, or did she?
Never did talk it, no. But her grandparents talked Norwegian all the time, and I guess they talked Norwegian to them, the kids, and of course the kids, they answered in English. But the grandparents, they could understand it, but they spoke Norwegian.
But she had never spoken it before she got to Norway?
No, never did. So So the second time it was easier for her. We was a shorter trip then. We went to Nordlandslager. I think we was there 7 weeks. But she had a wonderful time then, because then we knew how to travel, and we knew how they knew the style of them there, you know. There was so much. When I come there the first time, well, everything was like I come into China. Mm-hmm. Everything was different.
It's so different.
Yeah.
How do you see it's different than here? How is it different?
Well, they live different in every way.
Can you tell me something
different? Well, like, for instance, we eat 3 meals a day. Well, they have about 5 meals a day, maybe 6. They get up in the morning and have coffee and maybe a slice of toast. And then, in another hour, then they have breakfast. Then about 10 o'clock, they got a mug up. Then they have a noon mug up, dinner, big dinner. Then 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there is another mug up. And then they have a meal again in the evening, 5-6 o'clock. Well, then before they go to bed, 9 o'clock, 9-10 o'clock in the evening, well, then they got to have another mug up. So they eat all the time. And yet I was the fattest of them all there, and I only ate 3 meals a day all my life.
They must not eat very much at one time.
It seems like they ate more than I did. I don't understand it, how they do it.
Do you have to eat that many?
If the climate or what it is that does it, I don't know.
Do you have to eat that many times when you're there?
No, we didn't.
Do they get upset?
We sit down and had a cup of coffee with them, yeah.
They don't get upset if you don't eat?
No. Well, if you come to a house and they had a smorgasbord for you, if you didn't eat everything, this and that, they thought that you didn't like their food.
I see some pictures here. Are those grandchildren? You didn't tell
That's
me.
That's our great-grandkids.
Great-grandkids?
Yeah.
How many grandchildren do you have?
Who, me? I got 4.
You have 4 grandchildren?
Well, she's got, I don't know how many. She's got 6. So that's 10 altogether.
Do you have great-grandchildren too?
Yes. Well, I haven't gotten a picture of them. Oh, this is my daughter.
And her children, right?
Yeah.
What are the names of her children?
Well, that is Tom.
What, is he still in school? What does he do?
Well, he... No, he's married and has got a kid.
Uh-huh. What does he do?
Well, right now he...
Right now
he's... Oh, that's his grand... That's his son.
Uh-huh. What's he doing? What's Tom doing?
Well, right now he works for a tugboat company. He was up in Prudhoe Bay.
Oh.
You see, he was running a little ferry there for a couple years between the Heron Island is the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
And but then he decided there wasn't really he had no benefit there that belonged to the people that lived on the island there, you know, that kept that ferry up. And
I see.
So there was no. So then he went to work for Puget Sound Tug and Company.
Mm.
And he was up in Prudhoe Bay last summer. He had enough navigation, so he was able to get a kind of a captain's papers by studying more. So he has captain's license for running a boat up there in Prudhoe Bay.
He's kind of following your footsteps.
Yeah.
And
she is married, and she's got two kids.
What's her name?
Her name is Susie. Now, this one is still going to college.
What's her name?
Eve.
And Susie, who's she married to?
Well, I don't know. What is his name?
Bob Reynolds.
Oh, yeah, Bob Reynolds, that's his name.
What does he do?
Well, I guess...
He's George. He's a maintenance man for the Dennis branch, Denny's restaurant.
Oh, yeah, he's a kind of a maintenance for the Denny's restaurant.
Oh, I see, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And that is my daughter. This is... You see, she was married once before, but
I see.
And he died of brain cancer.
Oh.
So this is her second marriage, and this is their son. His name is Richard, the same as him.
And he's in school yet, I suppose.
Yeah, he is second year in high school, in the Peninsula School. Or is it the Gig Harbor? No, the Gig Harbor High School.
The new one.
So that's that. I don't know where you found this.
Is there anything else that you want to tell me now?
Oh, here is her. Here is her oldest daughter and her kids and family. He is the one that painted that. He is the commercial artist.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
she
told me their names, didn't you, before?
And her.
But you haven't told me the children's names.
Her name is Christy. That's hers, the biggest one on that side. That's her.
I see. Now she's married?
Yes, she was married, yeah. So this is Jeff. And this is...
Mark.
What does Jeff do?
He's working.
He works for... Well, he cut foam for furniture. I don't know what
to name. It's a company that handles foam rubber, and he worked for them. And this is...
what's their last
name? Mark Evans. E-V-E-N-S.
Mm-hmm. Mark Evans.
Now, is there anything...
She works for the telephone company. I saw that she works in...
His wife works for the telephone company also, and then their oldest daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there
this fella here, he worked for...
Who's that now?
He worked for...
her husband?
For a grocery. No,
the young pop.
This fella, young fella, he's 21 years old now.
I see.
And he worked for a grocery outfit.
In Browns Point, Georgia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you wanted to say now on the tape?
No, we haven't got no family picture of Dolores, no.
Dolores is your other daughter?
Mm-hmm.
She has children also?
She's got three, yeah.
Tell me their names and what they're doing.
Well,
Don,
he is the oldest. He is about 29, isn't he? 30?
He just had his birthday.
30?
Yeah.
And he is
a CPA. Yeah, she's a CPA.
He's a CPA. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And while the daughter, she is married to this, to a guy that has his own business. That's also the same thing.
CPA.
And the youngest is David. He works for Simpson. He is mechanic for Simpson.
What are their last names now?
Cox.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Donald, Deborah.
I don't have any other questions to ask. You know, is there something else that you'd like to tell about your experiences up in Alaska, possibly?
No.
You didn't have any close calls or any interesting experiences up there?
Well, I fished up there.
You fish in little...
And once we was loan boat. Once we was loan boat out of 400.
What are they? What are the boats? Explain them.
That's a sailboat. They're open boat. They're 32 feet long. And once we was cut in a bad storm. I sailed 7 hours. And I'll show you a picture of the guy that said if he lived through this, I'll never go back to Alaska again. Let me see now.
Where
is
his name?
That guy that's standing with me there.
What's his name?
His name is Sigmund Hansen. He says, if I live through this, I'll never go back to Alaska again. We was two boat cut in a storm. The other boat went. I knew them well. They were from San Francisco. But they got lost.
What kind of storm was it?
It was a kind of a southeasterly wind. Mm-hmm. But it blew smoke. We had three rings down and the boom tied over. We just had a little sack of sail left. But we got across. But he said, if I live through this, I'll never go back to Alaska. And I bet you he was there 15 years after that up there.
Must get in your blood.
Yeah.
They don't look like very big boats.
No, they are 32-foot open boats. They're
no
open.
No protection
boats.
At all.
No protection.
Anything.
Because they're open.
So you were out there all day when you went out?
We went out for the whole week. We went out Sunday night and we didn't come back in till
just sat on the
Saturday night. We come back in to Bluestone and Nets. That's the only time we was in. We fished 24 hours, 6 days.
You just sat on those boats all day? All night?
Oh, yeah. We fished one month. One month I wore out two sets of oilskins. It rained every day in 30 days.
Didn't you get sick?
No, we didn't get sick.
You're so used to it, I suppose. Did you make well?
That's the reason that him and I, you can see us here, you know, he's 80 and I'm 84. No, that other picture. Oh. He's 80 and I'm 84. You see, the tough ones, they live, and the weak ones, they die. You know, I even had a guy tell Gladys the other day, we go out fishing in the bay, you know, we got a 12-foot aluminum boat. He is 83 and I'm 84. And he told her that I'm still a bear.
You sure look healthy.
There was once I had a guy with me up in Alaska. That was in one of them boats. So when we come back in the fall, Gladys asked him if he could keep up with George. He says, I didn't try to. He's a bear.
Did you make real well?
Sometimes you made good. Sometimes you didn't. Depends on the fish.
It was salmon fishing?
Yeah.
You didn't fish a halibut?
I fished halibut 1 year. In fact, I was captain on that schooner in 25. But the price was so low, we didn't make anything. Mm. We had 3 cents for second class and 6 cents for first class fish. So that was the beginning and the end of me and the halibut fishing.
You like to fish for a salmon better, anyway?
Well, we generally made more money mm-hmm. on that. There were some days we could get 5,000 salmon in one day.
And that was nets then?
Yeah, gill netting, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, when you fished for halibut, you didn't use nets, did you?
No. Set lines. Mm-hmm. Yeah, ground lines. Mm-hmm. I also fished tuna.
Oh, where did you do that?
Well, in 34, I went on a schooner that was built here for Western Boat Building. Not Western was the name of the boat. There was a 140-foot boat. I was down to Galapagos Islands and fished tuna. So I have covered a lot of ground in my life. In 1935, I was up in Alaska again, and I was fishing herring in Dutch Harbor. And the devil come in the following was through, and she was heading for Nome, so she says we could just as well get aboard then. So we went aboard, and we went with her up to Nome, and when we was anchored, there's a shallow there, they couldn't go into the dock, so we was anchored out there, and we were sitting eating breakfast one morning. They announced it over the radio that Will Rogers crashed out there. We was up there when he crashed.
What, 1930?
35.
And when you fished for herring, that was netting too?
That wasn't a gill netting. Yeah, that's the only time I ever fished fish herring gill netting in this country. That was in 35. They closed Bristol Bay, so I was supposed to go to Bristol Bay, but they closed Bristol Bay for herring, salmon fishing. So I took a job going herring fishing in Dutch Harbor.
Why did they close Bristol Bay?
Well, I don't know why. There was a poor market or what it was. There was awful poor market.
How did you fish for tuna?
It was pole fishing.
Pole fishing?
Pole fishing, yeah. And I was what they call a charmer. I was the one that was feeding, putting the life fish out to hold the school up to the boat. We use anchovies. And you throw it out to hold the school into the boat. That was my job. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't pole fishing very much, tuna fishing. I became a chummer down at Galapagos. There was a Slavonian chummer there, and he got sick, so he took a liking to me, so he took me up on the tank and broke me in chumming. So that's what I was doing. I was supposed to be a pretty good chummer.
You never done that before, though?
No. No, that was in 34. So when once I came down from Bristol Bay, and I all used to go down to Astoria, Paragon was an outfit I used to go out with. So his name of the boss down there was Bill. He asked me if I was looking for a tuna job. I says, yeah. Well, he says, was the name of the schooner. And anyway, he said that she was looking for a chummer. So she was 100 miles out, and they come in to get me.
Sorry. Yeah. Good.
And so I was well known as a chummer. Mm-hmm. Quarrel Sea was the name of her.
What kind of fishing did you like best?
But it makes the most money, I guess.
Didn't make any difference if you were netting or a pole?
No, that didn't make much difference to me, you know.
You still fishing?
No, just sport fishing out mm-hmm. there. But the codfish, we always fish for codfish out here, but they're getting so poor, there's no feed, so we quit. And they ain't worth fishing for, they are too skinny. Mm. So we haven't been out. I haven't been out. Well, I was out with Chris, my nephew. I got a nephew here in this country and a niece. My sister had a daughter and a son. So I go out, but he always fished for salmon. But this particular time, that must have been in February.
Does he live here?
He lives out in Rosedale.
What's his name?
Chris Wally. In fact, I had a card from him the other day. He's down in southern Arizona. They are traveling. There is three couples. They each have their own trailer. Well, he don't like to tow the trailer, so he bought a big truck with a camper on. So he's got a camper, and the other two of us, they got a trailer apiece. And they are traveling together. So his wife, Peggy, she says that they are heading for Mexico now. They are going into Mexico. They started down in Southern California. They drove down to Southern California, and then they went Then they went east, went into there in southern Arizona.
Is he retired?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, he retired from the Navy Yard.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was on the
Missouri
when they signed the peace treaty in Japan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was only two from Washington that was on her, and they were even had the name in the paper when that was done. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should say
he had, I guess, 30 years.
Maybe we should say his name again. Say his name again.
Chris Wally. He put in the Navy Yard, he must have put in around 30 years. Yeah, well, more than that. You see, he got in there when he got out of high school. He got in there. He was 18 years old, I guess, when he started working. And he worked there till he was...
About a year ago.
58.
Do you get together a lot with your relatives here in this country?
Well, the only relatives I have is a nephew and a niece.
And then your
daughter. And my daughter.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Do you have family reunions ever?
No.
We get together once in a while.
Well, they come in here once a month. My daughter, they have a birthday club, the woman folks, and she belongs to that. So then he comes and play crib with me. Mm. We play crib, him and I.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything else now?
No, I don't think there is anything else.
Okay, Mommy Tuck.